So we are now going to discuss Chapter 3, Strategic Approaches to the Recruitment Process. A few important things we will look over here is the strategic importance of the recruitment process, the elements that make it strategic in nature. We'll also look at the characteristics of the recruitment professionals or the team involved and various other aspects. So let's begin with the introduction. So as we know by now, the recruitment process is one of the most fundamental value-added HR processes. Now what we mean by this is that if done right, it plays a major role in the organization's practices and standards. If proper people are inducted, they will run the show properly. So, a competent set of professionals can make or break the organization. It can either lead to immense success for the organization. In the hands of unscrupulous people, it can lead to an early demise of the organization as well. Hence, this is one of the key sought out value added functions or processes, and is also critical for leaders, because the leaders, the founders, the management team is reliant upon the other individuals to realize their vision coming true. Thus, recruitment process is used intensively, and the satisfaction with human resources is most related to effectiveness of the recruitment process. So if the right people are inducted for the right job, they're recruited, they're selected, then the organization will be able to create a progression. Thus, the main objective of recruitment and selection as a part of hiring is an organized, transparent, and fair process to incorporate the right people, as just stated. A well-designed recruitment and selection process quickly resolves a vacancy. Now, this vacancy might be extremely essential, critical to the organization's way of functioning. Just imagine, the organization throughout the years has been reliant on a selling process. They have not been able to, capitalize on their key accounts. Now they are in a need for somebody to generate a key account strategy. A key account is where your existing people are nurtured, they are developed, the clients, and you intend to do some cross-selling, upselling with them. You intend to extend businesses to maybe the other departments or plants that exist. So in this particular context, if that vacancy needs to be completed or the position needs to be filled, we need somebody who's competent enough to do that. An inexperienced person or a misfit will do more harm than good to the organization. Another aspect of recruitment which we have discussed in the first chapter was diversity. Now, of course, this diversity, this form has some connection to it as well. So a diversity related recruitment strategy is also the need of the hour. We will be covering this concept at the end of this chapter. Now, this strategy defines goals, accountabilities, action items, and success measures for attracting, engaging, assessing, and hiring diverse talent to drive business success. Now, in today's day and age, it's very important to use diverse methods in order to attract that diverse talent. Talent may be from different demographics, talent may be, having different educational or professional qualifications. Their experience might vary, and this might come in handy for the uncertainties of the future. Now, after having moved from the introduction, we will lay our focus, we will put our focus on to the strategic importance of the recruitment process. Now, we will be basing some of the discussions on research. So, research done by some prominent organization recently states that more than 14% of people tend to lose their patience and become very uneasy during the waiting period of a job interview. Now here, students, we have, you know, diversified or digressed our focus of attention from the recruitment professional to the candidate who is a prospective employee or who's seen as a prospective employee. So this perspective is very important to understand and to account for. The recruitment of an individual thus into an organization plays a very strategic role as it determines the selection of the right candidate. Now, if people start losing patience, they might not be deemed as the right candidates. So these sort of subtle things need to be considered by people who are in the recruitment processes. So process of making the right choice is of primary importance to the recruitment professionals. Thus, this process is not just a way of selecting an individual basis or based on their professional skills, but also includes analysis of social skills most of the times. So how good are they with their peers, or how good were they with their colleagues from the earlier organization? Can they generate a collaborative approach to help their colleagues? Do they engage in peer learning? Do they believe in sharing of their ideas and skills with others and so on? So these are certain things which are loosely connected with the core job, but should be considered as the skills required. Criticality of the recruitment process is the next element of strategic importance. Here, the role of recruitment in organizational growth plays a critical part and hence is a must to understand its importance and need. So if the right people are not inducted, then the organization may have a tarnishing in its reputation. So we all know, right from the founders, of course they cannot be recruited, but right from the founders to the blue-collar workers, if there is a misalignment, if they perceive organizational growth different from their own growth, then the organization's reputation would be at stake. When there are selfish people present in the organization, when they are people who are more self-oriented than believers of collaboration, when they take risks which are not coherent with the organization's vision, then the organization can experience a rapid decline. Now, of course, this all may be reduced because of proper recruitment practices. So when recruitment happens, it provides access for an organization to avail from a pool of talent. Now, with the next processes that we've discussed earlier as well, it is important to get the right people from that immense pool of talent. So the recruitment process has several goals. So let's cover some of the major goals here. So the first one is to find, of course, the best talent for the vacancies. We have, with the use of examples, looked at certain important profiles in the last chapter. So you are very well understanding what I mean. The next is management, managing of the recruitment sources. We have in the first chapter extensively defined the internal and the external sources. The next part includes managing the vacancies in the organization with the help of certain important systems, scientific approaches, and practices. Running the internal recruitment processes is another major goal related to the recruitment function or the recruitment process. So it's not always that you have to rely on external sources, or you know, when you are running those seven steps which we had discussed, those need to be run efficiently. Building the strong human resource marketing platform. So today we are all in an age where promotion matters advertising matters, marketing matters. So these need to help in selling the organization to the candidates. Cooperation with the local and international universities. So campus ramp-ups, your name in the prominent educational institutions where you get a lot of talent. So this has to be managed properly. And of course, provision of feedback about the trends in the job market. So continuously receiving feedback, continuously altering and becoming more flexible towards this process is, of course, a major recruitment goal. Now, through this visual and acronym, we are going to look at how we can create 7 engaging experiences for the candidates. Now, in the last slide, one of the important process goals was to promote or market the organization. So in this context, a very relevant model or an acronym comes into play, which is known as the RESPECT model or the RESPECT acronym. So this framework helps the recruitment professionals appear more approachable, more friendly, more respectful to the candidates, thus making the process more engaging. So recognize the candidates for the recruitment steps they perform well. So if they are doing a good job, give them a recognition, encourage them so that they stay till the last process. The next is exciting work. So R we've covered, E. So explain the existing, okay? So exciting aspects of the job in the existing job profile. So when you are laying out the JD or the job description, don't make it a mundane, mechanical explanation. Make it exciting. You know what? There might be a prospect where people from this particular job description have been to other parts of India or the world. Of course, it should be the truth. You should not be lying. Hey, there are certain technologies where the organization bears the cost of your certification, thus enabling you for a progression. Our organization is a growing organization and deserving candidates are promoted every once in a 2 years. So these are some of the exciting elements of the work. Security, of course, communicating the vision for the team, department or organization to instill confidence for a promising future. So we are one of the Fortune 500 organizations. We have a steady growth record. We are, the BSE or the NSE. We have our share pricing. We offer you certain stock options and so on. So security. We have provision for all the PF, the PPF, the gratuity benefits. We will be providing you with certain security. There's a job security as well. Payment, so beyond base pay, explain variable payment components, any incentives. So any VPI component, any variable pay component, which is, given you might cite experiences of the past. Education and career growth. So people might, you might subsidize certain certifications. So if they want to, join a reputed organization, institution like Wellinkers Institution for a hybrid MBA or a distance learning post-graduation course, they might get some subsidy. So if this is a provision, please feel free to voice it. Conditions. So describe your culture along with the tools, technology and social resources that the candidate will get. So this again is a very important thing, and of course trust. So how do the people trust in each other? How is the environment one which is congenial? How do other teams relate to each other as a part of their employment? So give proper relevant examples related to each of these factors so that the employee, the prospective employees or the aspirants, the candidates feel, this is a place where we could spend our next 3, 5, 10, 12 years and gain. So this is something which can be a part of a strategic approach which is being put into place by recruiters. So this can happen in a virtual interview, it can happen in an in-person interview as well. So now let's look at the strategic importance of the recruitment process and cover two important points here. The first one is the sources management. So how do you manage those sources? And this, students, is a very important, a prominent goal of the recruitment process. So the recruitment sources deliver the candidates for the selection procedure, as you're aware. Now, of course, there are sources like a campus, we may say, where you go ahead and either on a virtual, a hybrid, or an in-person mode, select people. Okay, so there is a pool presented to you and you have to filter and funnel those important ones whom you feel are a fit. Correct? Then there might be temping agencies, recruitment agencies, headhunters, social media platforms. So the better the candidates are, the higher quality job candidates can be hired. So ensure that you manage. You also sieve through these sources. So you manage them properly and you keep the best of those sources with you. So you can also create a ranking on a rating that can be done for these vendors or these sources that are there at your disposal. Next is building strong internal recruitment process. So external recruitment is not the only goal, as I had mentioned at the beginning. It can also be done through your internal resources, correct? So many a times, if you believe in creating or devising internal recruitment, it helps the organization to get to keep the best talents there. So many people, experienced people especially, if they don't experience progression in their career, they are bound to leave. Now, to prevent such things from happening, to prevent a high annual turnover rate, it is important to keep people motivated. Some of the important organizations are the ones, the organizations that have grown continuously and organically, are the ones who have kept their important resources happy. They have kept them engaged and involved. And one prime practice of doing so is through promotions. So if there are promotions that happen, then they would, there would be an internal strong core team. The next point is that of HR marketing, which was enlisted on a previous slide. So we are expanding this basically. The HR marketing is essential for any organization, in fact, for any large organization, a medium-sized organization as well, which needs to attract many job candidates. Now the conglomerates, the giants, if you notice, giants like Ambani Industries, the Reliance or the Jio industry, okay, so these particular giants, okay, or even the public sector, they need many people working together to run their internal processes. So they cannot just hire the experts, they have to attract also university graduates. So because of a mismatch in the demand and the supply, they have to also identify novice talent, new talent, fresh talent, and get them up to speed on their processes, correct? Because of the scale, the enormous scale, the numbers, they cannot, it's not economically feasible to hire all experienced people. So this point justifies the need for HR to market their jobs to show the fresh graduates that yes, ours is a company which is fit to work in. Now we will come to an interesting juncture in this chapter where we will discuss 12 essential elements of a comprehensive recruitment or a recruiting strategy. We begin with the first point, which is what are your primary goals? So we begin basically with the why. So a famous guru by the name of Simon Sinek, leadership guru, who's written, start with the why. So we need to identify the very purpose behind the hiring that needs to happen. So here we will have a quick discussion of why hire. So this occupies the first place and is therefore the first element of the recruitment strategy. So we need to understand the purpose of why we are hiring people from the outside. Is it something which is going to do us good in the long run? So first you must determine your firm's business goals and then what recruitment can do to contribute to each of them. So if you are growing in leaps and bounds, if you are falling short of qualified professionals, seasoned professionals, and they cannot be inducted from within, then you have answered the why. If there are certain processes or vacancies in the organization that need to be filled with outside expertise, you've answered the why. So my request to you would be to pause this video, and if you are a recruitment professional, identify the why behind your recruitment, and that will bring you clarity related to your strategy. So some of the common business reasons for hiring include replacements for turnover. As we are aware, every industry, any domain in fact, whether it's information technology, whether it's banking and finances, whether it's the fast moving goods, whether it is IT services, the power sector, the public sector, every domain in the industry is prone to attrition, also known as turnover. So turnover happens in the form of percentage points every year, and every company, every industry varies, but there is turnover that will happen for sure. So there are very few companies, or probably very, you can count them on your fingers, that do not have a turnover, but the rest, the major percentage is prone to turnover. So of course, one important reason is a replacement. For example, a seasoned, talented, let's say, IT executive, okay, a programmer or a tester, has worked in an organization for 4 years and now has an offer from the US. So they've got an offer from the Silicon Valley. Now who would, turn down such a lucrative offer? And you are also happy for them as your colleague, but then what needs to be done? If this person is leaving, you need an equally seasoned professional to replace them, correct? Current or future business expansion. So when I was working for KPIT Cummins, we had a transition of a process from Bangalore to Pune, where they gave us one particular process. So there was a transition. It came to Pune. I wouldn't name the process, but it was an important IT business server. And there was a business expansion. So KPIT Cummins, they allotted a space for this particular new business. And there was a need initially for 50 seats to be filled up for the IT and the ITS services. And subsequently, after 50 got filled up, they needed 50 more, and they expanded in a period of 6 months to almost 250. So for so many people, there needs to be a strategy in place, and this is a common business reason for hiring out from outside. Upsizing the caliber of talent because top talent has become available. So if you get to understand, like this happened in the aviation industry, when Kingfisher became bankrupt and did not function as an airlines, IndiGo and a few other airlines took up this opportunity to upsize the caliber of their talent by inducting trained and talented pilots from Kingfisher, because that talent had become available in the market. So they were aware that those 600, 800, 1000, 2000 pilots were without a job, or they were going to become jobless, so they were hired. So this can be a classical example of a business need or a business reason for hiring. The next is the prioritization of jobs. So this is another essential element of a comprehensive recruitment strategy. So of course, as we all know, no recruitment component or function has enough resources to fill every position immediately with top quality hires. This is the real world. So the real world functions on the principles of scarcity rather than abundance. While working for long years in the recruitment industry, I have come to know that the most relevant or the top talent is not available to you, and you have to struggle to obtain that. You have to really walk a tightrope in order to get those in the requisite amount of time. There are several experiences that can be related in this context where we have failed to get the right talent at the right time. So as a result, your recruiting strategy needs to include a prioritization element. Now, what is the basic meaning of priority, if you were to ask me? So priority is putting weightage, okay, giving some factor more importance than the other. Now, from the context of the recruitment, the prioritizing can happen in the following ways. Hire all jobs equally with the same priority. So if you have, four job openings and you are responsible for internal as well as managing the vendors, this can be used. Focus on key strategic business units. So see which are those units which will give your organization more chances of progression, so you can hire, on a priority basis for them. Focus on the key jobs. So if there are two jobs, a common one and something which is going to add tremendous value, focus on the later or the latter. Focus on key or powerful managers. So if there is a recruitment happening for 4 blue-collared workers, which is not very subsequential, but recruitment happening also parallelly for 3 managers, focus more on the latter. So I hope this information will prove beneficial if the audience, people who are already working in the recruitment function. The third essential element relates to the performance level. So to target the recruiting, to target recruiting top performers, it needs or it deserves or requires a very different approach or a strategy. This also needs more tools or a set of more specific tools than recruitment of average performers. You have to be more articulate in your approach. You have to be more specific. You also have to be assertive with these high performers, because they will be also the people who will demand more of you. As a result, you must first determine what level of performance you are primarily targeting before you determine the other elements of your recruiting strategy. You need to be very careful when you're negotiating salaries, setting a certain salary slab for them, and you also need to follow the RESPECT acronym or framework here. The next is experience level to target. So some employment strategies require you to take long-term approach and develop your own talent, while other approaches target bringing in experienced talent for immediate help or in bringing in new skills. So there are diverse situations which mandate these divergent approaches. For example, if you need somebody who can start slowly and pick up speed as they gain experience, so there would be some processes where the eventual client or the end customer is patient, needs or sees the benefits of a long-term approach. Here, this can be used as a strategy. If there is an exigency or a contingency, a talented manager has left a void and needs to be quickly replaced with another one, and that next manager has to be brought to speed, the second approach is desired. So the situations mandate the recruitment strategies as well. So your inexperienced talent that can be trained, temporary and contract labor that can be converted. So these are certain essential elements that experience target ranges, okay? Hire at the bottom and promote within. Undergraduate college hires, interns, internet and on-campus hires, postgraduate hires and experience hires. So these are they represent the entire spectrum or the range that can be hired by seasoned professionals. The fifth and the important point is category of candidate to target. So whether you target active or passive candidates has a tremendous impact on both the quality of hire and difficulty of getting an acceptance. Correct? Now, what are active and passive candidates? So active candidates are the ones who have actively marketed online, expressed their desire to be hired by organizations. They might have resigned from their previous job, or they might be unhappy and might think of resigning. The passive candidates have not shown any such desire. They may be still working professionals, but through some of their posts you might observe unhappiness or a desire to change. So you might just want to trigger that unhappiness, but there is nothing which is openly seen. The other types of candidates are diverse and magnet hires. So diverse is a candidate having diverse skills. Okay, so they have skills where it is very difficult to imagine how can a person who is a poet also a software engineer, and they can do both things with ease. For example, in one of my previous organizations, we had a person who was very good with Excel. They were very good at planning and creating learning and development standards, but they were also a guitar player. So that person used to be a part of a band. So two very diverse things. And the third diverse part was he was also very good at management practices. He was an actual leader. So as you can see, three diverse things. So this makes the candidate diverse, and they could justify this diversity. So if asked, the guitar was played with equal ease. If asked, the management was done properly, leadership practices, standards were developed. And of course, magnet hires, people with a very high amount of influence. Okay, they have a certain charisma about them, a magnetism. People with very good people management capabilities and strong influence amongst others, which they have actually gone ahead and demonstrated. They are the influencers in any technology or any domain. The next element is where to look for candidates. Now there are three subcategories within the where element, and they include internal versus external. So we have covered this in detail in the first chapter, but nevertheless we'll look at a few points. Focus on all internal candidates, laterals or promotions. So if need be, begin with internal. Settle on a fixed ratio of internal versus external hires. So you don't want to destroy the morale of the existing employees. So you might want to consider them as a part of IJP, the promotions that were there, some important relocations. Then you would like to also consider external people, because you don't want to lose the balance or tip the balance. Hire primarily from college campuses as well, and hire from external sources. So there is a certain balance between experience and youth. There's a certain balance between internally grown people vis-a-vis the external fresh blood. The second important aspect over here of this element is inside or outside the industry. So here, target within the industry only. So many a times we would like to experiment, but if it's an important requirement, always try to have industrial fitment. A fixed proportion outside the industry can also be thought of, but they need to really possess those skills. The last point is the geographic focus. Whether to target from the local community areas is a question. Whether to look at within the region, which is a higher, or a larger range. Whether in India only, or a truly global search. So these are also elements. So a lot of companies that I've worked with believe in diversity. So they've expanded their operations well beyond the boundaries of India as well. So depending upon the nature of the job, these aspects should also be considered. The seventh point here is when to begin searching for candidates. So most firms begin a search once a requisition has been created. In fact, that's what we have seen in the diagram that was presented in a previous slide. But there are a multitude of approaches that are available depending upon the need and the trends of the past. Correct? So these being begin recruiting when an opening occurs. So this is the classical or conventional approach. Continuous search, evergreen jobs where there's a constant need. So there is no need absolutely for us to, you know, wait for a requisition to emerge or need to emerge. We have a continuous pool of individuals and we are more proactive than reactive. So this is also a useful approach which I have seen in many organizations that I have trained, worked and consulted for. The eighth element is who does this recruiting? So of course, as we, you know, have come to become aware of, they include internal and external. So internally, who is responsible? Probably the HR generalists, the recruitment generalists, primarily the internal recruiters working in HR. There can be separate sourcing and recruitment efforts within a centralized function, like organizations like Wipro, where I used to work for. So within the generalist HR, there was a talent search and deployment division, which was responsible only for recruitment. They had a specific area only for recruitment. An interesting point, after several years of me quitting the organization, they actually had a city unit as well. So Wipro being in Pune, I'm referring to the Pune, segment of Wipro, they have got a few prominent offices or you might say locations in the outskirts of Pune, but they also developed a recruitment office of sorts in the city, in a prominent, central part of the city. And this was only the part which was manned by the specialists required for recruiting. So they did recruitment work there, offers were made, and people then got to work for various offices or locations around India and the world. So this also has been witnessed, where a separate sourcing and recruitment effort has been institutionalized by a corporate giant. And of course, a mix of corporate and contract recruiters that work internally. So let's also look at the primary sourcing tools. So identifying candidates and convincing them to apply is essential to great recruiting. Some of the sourcing focus areas or the focal areas include, of course, I'll run you through because we've done that earlier. Traditional media like newspapers, magazines, walk-ins. Sourcing events like job fairs and industry events. So we also have, in the metro cities, in prominent cities, job fairs. So job fairs are where the organizations, it's like an exhibition or a fair, where they have a booth or a stall, where people get information about the organization, where they get to know what are certain job openings and they can apply. These can also now be transitioned online. So you can avail of a job fair online as well. Traditional internet sourcing. So large and niche job boards. So there are a lot of job boards like Naukri, Shine, Indeed. These are the traditional ones, been there for a few decades now. Non-traditional sourcing like Google type name, search for passives, chat rooms. So these are informal ones, network linked, domains. Employment branding, a short-term sourcing strategy to build. So this can happen on probably Instagram or LinkedIn or the platforms. And of course, acquiring intact teams and, a large amount of talent through mergers and acquisitions. Like for example, let's say if Facebook has acquired Instagram and WhatsApp. So they also have acquired the engineers, the talent from those organizations. Thank you.